Wetlands are a critical part of our natural environment as they protect our shores from wave action, reduce the impact of floods, absorb pollutants, and also improve the water quality.
Now, yesterday, the 2nd of February 2022, South Sudan joined the rest of the world to mark and celebrate the World Wetlands Day. The day is aimed at increasing people's understanding of this critical, important ecosystem. Now, to talk more about this, we are glad to tell you that we are joined here in the studio by the Undersecretary at the Ministry of Environment, Africano Battelle, who is also an environment expert. Good morning, sir, and it's good to have you here this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, and thank you, Sabit, for having me for this special conversation about the World Wetlands Day.
Yes, could you briefly just tell us about the World Wetlands Day? What is it all about?
The World Wetlands Day is commemorated every year on the 2nd of February to mark the adoption of the Wetlands Convention that was signed in the Iranian city of Ramsar in February 2nd, 1971. The reason why that convention was adopted is because wetlands are disappearing three times the rate of forest. But since wetlands are really a very important ecosystem and habitat that host a lot of plants and animals, they provide clean water, they also mitigate the impacts of flooding, they act as carbon sinks, and they are also biodiversity hotspots. So the ecosystem services from this important habitat is very important for the survival of humanity.
Right. And just before we go into details, tell us, what are wetlands? If we talk about wetlands, what are we talking about?
Wetlands are bodies of water. We have coastal wetlands. Those are like mangroves and marshes. And we have inland wetlands, like what we have in South Sudan, like the plain floods. And also we have human-made wetlands, like fish ponds and rice paddies. So those are all bodies that have waters and other kind of vegetations in them.
Right. You spoke about how wetlands are fast disappearing. What is the situation like in South Sudan? How would you describe the wetlands here?
First of all, we are blessed with the largest wetland in Africa and most probably in the world, which is the Sud. It's a very important ecosystem or habitat that we have because it hosts over 100 species of birds, and we have over 200 species of fish, several plants, papyrus, and also the, it also kind of like regulates the water, like floods in the area. Likewise, it's balances our climate because it's where we have evapotranspiration of water that causes rains not only for South Sudan but for the whole region. So the wetlands that we have here also supports the migration of over 2 to 3 million white-eared corps, giraffes from Boma, and that's one of the resources that we have not tapped in terms of tourism. So the ecosystem services also that it provides to our animals is like the pastures, clean water, and also for the people around there, the livelihoods, like fishing and all that. So these are some of the things, but we have not evaluated it. So most of the people really don't know the importance of this of these wetlands and the pressures that are happening. Like now, the oil exploration, we have one of the largest or the biggest block of oil that is supposed to be exploiting the wetlands. That's something that we are worried. Secondly, the Jongole Canal is one of the most critical project that we think should not be resumed. We also have incursions by people into that area,
mm-hmm.
and overfishing, but they are still in a minimal stage. So what we are trying to do at the moment, we will work to make sure that we come up with some plans and strategies how to protect these wetlands, because it's really very important for the region and for our survival as a country.
Great. You did mention that many people, and of course you make the explanation, many people still don't understand or do not know the importance of these wetlands. Why is that so? Why haven't we utilized these our wetlands to the benefits of all South Sudanese?
We have the potential of really making use of the wetlands, because at the moment, if we talk about production of paper, we have papyrus there, and we can have the largest paper production factory
mm-hmm.
In the wetlands to use the cellulose from the papyrus. Also, we can be a giant in supplying the best fish, which is the Nile perch,
mm-hmm.
to the world, because we can produce over 200,000 tons of fish a year from the wetlands. And one important thing that people forget about the importance of the wetlands is its sequestration ability, because it sequesters a lot of carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gives us an ability to make money from carbon trading, because we have sequestered a lot of carbon. And one thing that we need to do right now is to measure how much carbon are we sequestering and try to see what we are producing as a country. Then the balance of that sequestered carbon, we can trade it
right
internationally and make billions of dollars from there. Also, one thing that is very important with the wetlands is what we can get from the tourism, the recreation potential,
mm-hmm.
because it's one of the most beautiful sites that we have. And with the migration of animals to the wetlands, we can make at least $3 billion a year out of tourism. So what I can think that this is one of the best resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's renewable, and it's not like the oil that is finite. So we need to make some really good plans and invest in its management, because that's where we can realize stability in our economy, and also we have a clean environment because it provides all those services.
Right. Well, you speak of all these figures when it comes to exploration and promoting tourism. What do we need to kickstart?
The most important thing to start any developmental or improve our economy is for us to silence the guns. We need peace. When we know the potential that we have as a country in terms of natural resources, I don't think anybody would like to have a trigger or try to fight, because what we have here can make South Sudan one of the most richest country. And with the small population, I think three quarters of us will be staying at home, and some people will be doing some work for us. So these resources are there, but the most important thing, development and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Development and peace goes together, and backwardness is a result of conflict. So for us to be able to manage all these resources, we need some stability. We need strong laws, environmental laws, for us to be able to curb all the illegal exploitation that is happening in terms of all the natural resources in the country. But one thing that I think we, talking about the wetlands, we have to also to know about the importance and try to defend and protect it.
Mm-hmm. And this year's theme is Wetlands Action for People and Nature, highlighting the importance of actions to ensure the conservation and sustainable use of wetlands for human and planetary health. How do you relate this to South Sudan?
The actions that we are supposed to be taking is, first of all, to respect the wetlands, not to kind of like pollute it. I think now we are polluting the wetlands, because the city of Juba is now a source of plastic pollution, and getting all that to the Nile, it goes to the wetlands.
Right.
And when these plastics kind of like sink to the bottom of the wetlands, that simply means there will be no permeability for water to support all the plankton, the fish,
mm-hmm.
and And also now we can also pollute the fish that we have for having plastic, because some of them will eat that. Yeah. And in turn, it will come back to us. So I think that is one thing that we need to do, protecting the wetlands, not to pollute it. Secondly, when we are going to think of exploring oil in that area, I think we need to use some modern technologies that will not be kind of like horizontal or vertical drilling. We can do some horizontal drilling where we cannot impact the balance of the wetlands. Also, oil spills is something that we should take care of from the oil fields and all that. So it's a very delicate habitat that supports a lot of biodiversity, and any pollution to it kind of like will have dire consequences to the environment and to the people.
Right, and everything you speak about relates to conserving our wetlands. So taking action to protect wetlands requires resources, particularly skilled labor and financial investment. So how much of that is the government willing to commit?
As I said earlier, it's not only the Minister of Environment that will have a stake in the wetlands, because there are different institutions like wildlife should have a stake there, fisheries, livestock, agriculture. At the moment, I have to be candid and clear, since the conflict, our economy has not been in a good shape, and we only have two section of the budget, which is salaries and operations. And we hope with peace we'll have some improvement in our economy, so that we'll be able to put more money into some developmental projects like natural resources management. What we are having right now is getting money from partners, small projects here and there, but I think it will be more prudent for the government to take lead and try to protect it, because we need to invest in managing these resources. That's where you put money, then you make more money.
Great.
You don't put money, that simply means you will not reap anything out of that. So I think the natural resources sector, because we are a country that is endowed with natural resources, we need to put more money in the natural resources sector, such that we can get more money out of it.
Right. Great. Now, talking about the government involvement in all this, do we have enough legislations to help protect our wetlands?
We have developed a national biodiversity strategy and action plan. That's there. We have our nationally determined contribution, that wetlands also are part of that. We have our national adaptation plan. These plans are all there, but what is missing is the means of implementation, which is coming back to money. Because we can have all the plans that you have, very nice plans, but if you don't have money to implement them, they're as good as what we have on your paper.
Right. Are you able to provide any cases where you successfully prosecuted offenders in order for us to appreciate actually the law enforcement as part of their work?
As I said, we have issued several ministerial orders banning, for example, the illegal logging of natural trees or trees from the forest reserve, ticks and all that. And as I said, being in a conflict situation, the ideal situation, for example, for managing forest is for foresters to be in the forest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now if the forest are occupied by, say, rebels, and forest guards by then were not armed. Mm-hmm. There are people who have axes and sticks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody has taken your place. So that's a challenge that we have, because we want to have that ability to manage all those protected areas because of the presence of outlaws. So as I said earlier, even though we have been arresting people, bringing them here, but the sad part too, also we have people, men in uniform, that are dealing in such kind of illegal acts. So it defeats the purpose, because they are supposed to be the ones protecting these resources, but now because of the break in law and order, They've become the poachers, and they've become people who are doing all the illegal acts. So I it's a catch-22 situation, and I think we need to look into that further and appreciate our resources, because at the moment, with this rate, if nothing is done, we'll only be having some good songs, but in the end, we don't have anything to show.
Great.
So that's my worry.
Right. Well, most of this might be happening because of ignorance of the importance of these wetlands and, you know, on how to protect them and all that. Let's talk about sensitization briefly. How much of that is being done by your ministry, apart from having visibilities during commemorations like these?
For us, we are a policy-making organization. Yes, we have a department or a directorate for environmental education and information. Mm-hmm. And yes, with the current situation, with the lack of budget and stuff, as I said, the budget is not that sufficient. So we can do this much.
Small.
But okay. The most important thing, I think, radios like yours and reporters and all the print media are supposed to be playing a major role, because you will not find me as an undersecretary every day in a radio and all that kind of stuff, because these are issues, crucial issues, that the media, the journalists are supposed to pick, do research, and raise the awareness. And at the same time, the media is not supposed to be there only to report, because we need also some people to hold some individuals to account. Because that will shame them, and everybody has to talk about what is going wrong, if there is corruption happening, if there is this kind of like but the most important thing, to protect the environment, all of us have a stake in it.
Great.
So nobody has to be saying that the Minister of Environment is supposed to be doing this, but each and every one of us have to play a role. Because in the end, if we have polluted air, it's not me, the Undersecretary, who's going to breathe it. It's your children, all of us will be affected. So each and every one of us has a role to play and protect our environment and resources, because that's what God has given to us as a country. And we have to protect it such that the future generations will be able to enjoy, and they will have a livelihood like our grandparents had.
Talking about protection of environment, pollution, and holding people accountable, we've had a lot of reports about, you know, oil spills and pollutions in let's say Unity State and all these oil producing areas. We've seen children who have been bone deformed and all that. How much really is being put into protecting the environment, and especially the people who are in these oil, oil states generally?
I knew that one was coming. Anyways, you know, there are some reports that are not scientific in nature. And as a Minister of Environment, yes, we need to make sure that the oil operations are having high environmental standards in their in producing of the oil. We know of the produced water. We hear about the contamination of soil, water, soil, air, and we have heard about the defects and with children born without limbs and all that. We in the ministry, we have a policy that every year oil companies are supposed to conduct environmental audits, and the reports of those audits are supposed to be submitted to us in the ministry, where we can review and try to come up with some action plans and try to also hold people accountable. Unfortunately, most of these oil companies are not following those policies. For the reason that they know. But I know that Petronas or CNP or whoever in other countries will really do the best. But in our country here, I think there is some lapse in the way they do things. But for us to be able to hold them to account. We have, together with the Minister of Petroleum, instituted that there should be a comprehensive environmental audit. There was a tender, bids were submitted, and I think three companies were selected. And now the reports of the evaluation and everything is in front of the desk, or it's on the desk of the Minister for Petroleum. We hope sooner or later, very soon, one of the companies will be selected to conduct the audit. There will be a lot of things to be collected, water samples, air samples, soil samples, even blood samples from people and animals. Then when we ascertain the extent of pollution and try to know and tie it to that, we in the Ministry of Environment will not leave any stone unturned, and all these companies will be held to account. I've been telling them that it's very important for them to maintain high environmental standards, because the money that you generate now, the profits that you get, you can lose it when people sue you in that. So we hope the environmental audit will help us very soon.
Right, and Honorable, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us. What would your closing remark be?
My closing remarks regarding the World Wetlands Day, I will just go back to the SUD, and I would like to raise the awareness of our people to know that we are endowed with one of the largest wetlands in the world, freshwater wetlands. It's really very important for our livelihoods. The ecosystem services that it's providing to us is priceless. And the threats that we all know, there are countries that are looking for more volume of water, and they're looking at the SUD as a source of that. So that's something that I think in my lifetime I won't see that the SUD is drained. As long as I'm the undersecretary, I will do all my best to put the ecosystem services of the SUD such that everybody knows about it and protect it and keep it as it is. So this is my advice to everybody. Let us all think about that and try to protect it. Thank you.